Prince Harry spent his life living in the shadow of his mother's tragic death. But when he falls in love, he realizes it's up to him to stop history from repeating itself. In our new series, Prince Harry, Windsor of Change, we'll tell you how a prince without direction became a duke who found a family.
Listen to Even the Rich on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on Bravo. I'm Ben Mandelker, and my sweet, sweet work husband, Ronnie Karam, is not here today because he's in the throes of BravoCon in Las Vegas. I don't know what he's up to. I know he's somewhere in the mix, but luckily we have someone that we love having on the show. She is so funny, and it's been way, way, way overdue. It's been way too long since she's been on here. The lovely and wonderful Ray Sani. Hi, Ray. How are you?
Hi, Ben. Thank you for having me. I'm triggered by you saying that Ronnie's at BravoCon because I wanted to be there.
Well, guess what?
But, you know, the writer's strike affected your girl's funds. So,
hey,
we didn't make it over there.
Listen, you know what? We're going to have Crappens Con right now, party of two.
Ramona can say racist shit over here, okay?
This is where all the problematic outcasts of Bravo come over here. Right. I have to tell you, by the way, crazy shit has happened since Ronnie and I last recorded, okay?
Isn't that nuts? There was so much stuff.
But like stuff that's like, okay, that like Ronnie and I are a part of. So I don't
know. Wait, what?
Listen to this. Okay. So this Vanity Fair article comes out. By the way, I should say, everyone, this is a video too. So if you want to watch along, go to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Ray looks gorgeous. So just come to check out Ray.
Oh, that was a compliment fishing, but I did beat my face.
You did. So I like people, if you took that effort, then people should come see it. So you heard about this Vanity Fair article that came out early in the week, right?
And I did think, can I be honest though, a little bit though? I was expecting more explosiveness, to be honest.
Yeah, that exactly, as was I. I felt like, we talked about this when we did our IG Live earlier in the week. I thought, like, if you're going to say, oh my God, it is a Bravo expose. Yeah. We're pulling the lid off of this thing. We are going...
Who gives a fuck about Leah? I mean,
well,
seriously.
It was Leah and Bethany. It was mainly Leah and Bethany. And then, by the way, Ramona's a racist. And, like, I don't...
We
didn't know that. And it's like, of course, none of that's good. I don't condone it, of course. But
we knew this. I think part of watching Roni, at least for, 6 years, you just kind of swallowed that this was a deeply racist person, but she was so nuts that it was fascinating. I don't know how people, and I'm sorry I cut you off.
Oh, no, please. Apologies.
But, like, I don't know what people are expecting from these women that we watch on this show. Like, obviously, there are things that are, like, egregious. Now, if Ramona was racially harassing her producers and stuff, like the story told us, and Ebony has told us in the past, sure, Bravo, you need to do something about this. But, like, am I surprised that, like, a 60-something wealthy woman who lives on the Upper East Side...
Trumper.
Who's out of touch. Trump supporter who's out of touch with reality 90% of the time may be racist and thinks that she can clear up a message to a reporter by saying, I didn't say the word. Like, she's crazy.
Yes.
I just don't understand why so many people, I understand why Bravo removed her. She's bad PR.
Of course.
Absolutely. I just don't understand why the audience expected better.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of the audience is really surprised. So one thing that Ron and I, and I'm not going to speak for Ronnie, but I'll speak for myself, was like, the article to me was kind of bullshit. Not bullshit, it was just stupid. Because you're trying to take down all of Bravo and you're trying to make these damning claims about The Real Housewives when your primary sources are just two women from the same franchise and then a terrible story about a baddie racist lady who we all kind of suspect and kind of know already. So you're like, what sort of expose is this? This is just like Bethany's crusade. And like you got the press release from Bethany and you followed up on it. And someone wrote a comment that was really good saying like, you're here trying to write an article about the exploitation that Bravo has of its stars, and you don't even bring up Kim Richards. And it's like, that just shows how...
So
like that just... They don't even mention Russell Armstrong. And so, like, it just shows how
Taylor, they don't mention...
All the terrible things that have happened. And it's not like I'm like, ha ha ha, it's not coming from a place of condoning it, but it just shows how the article lacked... a real sense of like journalism. It didn't have any depth to it beyond what was on Real Housewives of New York. It was like a New York takedown, but New York already took itself down.
It's also such a New York publication, you know?
True, but it just, to me, it felt like sloppy journalism. And I feel like the general vibe amongst Bravo viewers was like a big shrug. Like, we've been watching Real Housewives for almost 20 years. Like, if the big takeaway is that they drink a lot, that adults drink, and that Ramona's racist, we're all kind of like, we gave it a shrug. So
yeah, we knew that.
So that was Monday or Tuesday when this landed. So 1 right. a.m.
Oh, one more thing though.
Yeah,
one more
go ahead.
I'm going to be controversial for the second
Please.
Day. Two more things.
We love it.
But one, Leah, like, I know that your job needs to be responsible about your addiction, right? But at the same time, too, you admit at the top of the article that you relapsed before filming started. Like, what were we supposed to do yeah. about that? What was production supposed to do? And you were lying about relapsing as well.
And also, like, I kind of do think that these shows are about, like, what I kind of want to sit here and watch to some degree, even though it's funny she's throwing torches, but what does it mean to relapse?
Yeah, what does it mean to relapse? What does it mean to be you? What does it mean? Like, obviously, it's exploitative if they put you in dangerous situations and they allow you to spiral without any correction. So, like, I do understand that part of it. But, girl, they didn't cause you to relapse. You admit off rip in the article that your relapse was your own. And so it just seemed like, not that you have to be a perfect victim, quote unquote, but it just like, if you want to make a case, you got to make a good case. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think that starting off with, I relapsed, also I was lying about having relapsed, is a great way to make the case that these people exploited you.
Exactly.
But
two,
I don't see how Ebony K. Williams is vindicated. And I know that I'm Ebony's biggest hater, but like, honestly... We knew Ramona was racist. You didn't tell me nothing different. That don't mean your season wasn't bad.
Yeah.
That don't mean you didn't suck. Ramona sucks and you suck.
Right.
So I'm just kind of like, what is this like redemption that Ebony is getting online really quickly? Like, no.
Well, I think that Ebony gets some redemption for basically in the same article where Bethany thinks she's leading her crusade, like she's Fran Drescher with the actors. You have Ebony being like, no, Bethany doesn't speak for me. I'm not going to let that white lady speak for me. And that was hilarious. That was Ebony's funniest thing that she ever wrote.
It was the funniest thing. Exactly. The funniest thing. That's the only time anybody's enjoyed her. Give me a break.
So anyway, the point is actually not to rehash necessarily the article, but this is what's been crazy as we're in the middle of BravoCon. So yesterday, Ray, let me tell you what happened. I'm sitting there at the barbershop. And
your haircut looks nice.
Thank
you. Always look handsome though. You're a handsome guy. You've always been.
Thank you. I you know, I try my best.
You and your man are fine. That's stupid.
But so our friend David, remember David? He messaged and said, by the way, congrats on your mention on Page Six. I was like, what is he talking about?
Okay.
So earlier in this week, because of this article, it kind of landed with a dud with Bravo viewers. It was just like stupid to us. So I made a little meme. I made a video. You know that famous video, the internet video of the reporter in the canoe who's like, oh my God, there's flooding. And as she's like on this canoe, two people walk by in the water and it's like ankle high.
I don't know.
It's like a very famous meme of like,
so she's lying.
She's like, oh my God, tragedy. And then people walk by and it's fine. So I make like a little video.
Okay, that's great.
It's funny. And I with the reporter, I put down Vanity Fair. And then when the people walk by, I say, Bravo viewers. Because it's like Vanity Fair is like, oh my God, there's this show. And people are drinking. And we're just like, whatever. This is old news. This is nothing to us. Walking on by. So it's this funny meme. I think it's funny. And it does well. So Andy Cohen responds to it.
What did he say?
He wrote an emoji that was like a laughing emoji, like ha 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 ha, you know, because it's funny. Like we're all like, who cares? So Page Six writes an article yesterday saying Andy Cohen subtly responds to allegations of racism and exploitation in the workplace. And they're like, on the Watch What Crap in social media, Andy Cohen wrote like a laugh emoji. So I'm like cracking up that the stupid video I made in bed at 1 a.m. now has a Page Six article that is surrounding it because Andy Cohen wrote an emoji. So then, Bethany Frankel.
Oh, dear God.
Bethany Frankel goes on to her podcast and she starts saying, oh my God, I can't believe it. So like there's like this podcast, I guess, called Watch What Crappens. And like,
I guess, bitch.
Well, because remember when she was like, I never watched Vanderpump Rules. So she's like, there's this podcast and Andy Cohen, they do a meme. They do a meme that's like basically saying like laughing at, it's like racism. They like don't care. And then Andy Cohen laughs at it. Like you're just laughing.
Why so people doesn't care about racism? What the fuck are we talking about here?
So she puts on her social media, as does Leah. They both put up a screen grab of the video and Andy Cohen. And the screen, it basically says, like, oh, really? Laughing about racism? Real cool. Is that what we're doing now? And drug use or something? And it's like, the meme is not about racism. The meme is about how this article thought it was going to shake our world, and it didn't. So then Page Six runs an article about Bethany Frankel taking Andy Cohen to task about the video. And then there's another article today about Leah McSweeney reacting to Andy Cohen, to the video.
Wait, so how many impressions did these articles get? Like, how many new followers do you have?
Are going nicely. And you know what's great? You know, usually when this happens, you think there would be like a lot of comments of people who are going to be like Bethany. And it's like, everyone gets it. And everyone's like, Bethany, don't even, you're trying to make a thing, okay? And like, our meme is not about laughing at racism and thinking racism is funny. Our meme is laughing at Bethany Frankel's attempt to scandalize us with this Vanity Fair article, and it failed. And Bethany, to that, I say thank you. Thank you for getting us on Page Six. Thank you. Thank you.
Congratulations. Thank you for the free publicity. I think that's, first of all, I think it's so whack, in part because I think it's so whack for two wealthy white women in New York to try to like weaponize racism because their personal stories were not taken seriously,
For their grievances with Andy.
It's not like Leah specifically spoke out about Ramona.
That's what I was going to say. Bethany, you've been filming with Ramona for basically 15 years. I guarantee you've seen way more things than the PAs on the set did, than Ebony K. Williams. You probably saw way more. And where are you coming out and saying things? So now you're angry at Andy Cohen. Bethany, I'm going to need you to start speaking up because I know for sure you've seen Ramona say lots of racist things.
Right. Well, so then here's why I don't think she'll speak up, because I think that, listen, there's a contract I have to make as a Black viewer of these shows, particularly a Black woman who is not wealthy, right? When I'm watching, let's say New Jersey or let's say Orange County, I have to know that these women are probably really unsavory when they talk about people like me in private. You think I didn't know that? You think that it confounds me when I hear a Ramona is racist story? No. So if I'm not saying I give Ramona grace, because especially that final season, she was egregious at that Black Shabbat dinner.
I love Black Shabbat.
But the Black Shabbat concept was also egregious, which is something Ebony doesn't get held accountable for. But please don't let me turn this into a rant against Ebony, because I don't want to turn your
show. Here to talk about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. That's the shocking part. But like, this is stuff.
We'll, We'll get to it. I promise. But there is, which isn't to say excuse all behavior, because I agree with the decision to get rid of, say, Kelly Dodd, because there is a certain amount of like too far, right? Mm-hmm. But or
well,
Jenny,
Kelly Dodd,
right?
Is one of the few Black cast members on Orange County.
I know. What was it? 3%? 3% Nigerian. That's my sister. Okay, but like beyond the like egregious, outrageous, active in the present type stuff that we see and have to engage with and visibly are affronted with, like, I am not confused that women of a certain socioeconomic class and certain demographics behave poorly in certain ways. I understand that. I also don't get the sense that they're being glorified for those things. I mean, we can, you know, talk back and forth about who Bravo chooses to give a platform and how increasing their wealth, you know, feels like encouragement. That's a valid conversation. But to act like we're all going to be shocked to find out that a senior citizen from the Upper East Side of Manhattan has said bad things about Black people is crazy to me. And I love how convenient it is, because didn't we watch Leah beg Ramona to be her mom for a season? Didn't we watch Bethany beg for Ramona to treat her nicely? Which isn't to say that like their claims of racism are invalid, but it's like you are complicit until it's inconvenient for you. Mm-hmm. Leah did Ultimate Girls Trip. She wasn't confused about what happened to her after she filmed 2 seasons of Real Housewives and then filmed
exactly.
Ultimate Girls Trip. Because they didn't bring her back. And Bethany feels slighted by one episode of Watch What Happens Live and lost her shit. And like, fine, but like, don't weaponize trauma against me and my people to make a personal vendetta seem more morally important or valid.
Absolutely. I think there's nothing to add to that. There's nothing to add to that. So that was the big controversy this week. And of course, I just had
to. Yeah, I'm glad for all the views, you guys.
I love it.
Give us numbers.
Listen, I am happy to be a leech and to pray. I'm happy to be the lamprey on this controversy and take whatever views and followers I can get and that we as Watch What Happens can get. That makes me very happy. And if I can't be a BravoCon, at least I can be part of some ridiculous.
If you don't mind me asking, is there a particular reason you're not at BravoCon, or just didn't work out wise?
There's no like reason with a capital R. It was a combination of like Ronnie and I were initially not going to go because it's like it's really expensive and. It's expensive, and like honestly, the idea of like going to Vegas and going to a convention for 3 days and sort of like it felt like it might kind of be like work a little bit, you know. It might not, it's one of those things where kind of part of me was like, oh, it will be really fun. Like the fan in me is like, this will be so fun. But then there's part of me that realistically is thinking this might wind up being more like work than fun. But also,
Also, on top of that, you guys should have been invited to be panelists if you asked me. I feel like
that would have been really fun.
Danny, y'all are the most popular Bravo focused podcast. Like, for me, a no brainer.
Well, maybe next year. Maybe next year we can be panelists. Obviously, I will 100% do that. I mean, look at how I'm like throwing myself into, like, tangentially including myself into a Page Six thing as if like I'm actually a party of this. But actually also then when Ronnie did decide like 2 weeks ago, he changed his mind to decide he wanted to go. But by then, my boyfriend's parents are actually in town. So I'm like, I kind of feel shitty being like, and bye, I'm going to hang out with a bunch of depraved people who may or may not be racist. And then not the fans, I should say, not the fans, not the attendees. And then, but also, I had my appendix out 2 weeks ago and.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's okay. It's fine. But I.
The major surgery in general, even when you know, like, it's fine. It's kind of cool to be cut into by a stranger.
Yeah, exactly. And so I kind of feel like. It probably is not the smartest thing for me to go to Vegas and be on my feet all day long. And I'll probably want to drink. And if you get drunk, it's just, you know what? Absence makes the heart grow fonder. And now maybe more people will be more fond of me. How about that?
Well, so if it makes you feel better, I went to BravoCon last year and I had a blast, but I, one, did drink too much, and two, spent entirely too much money. And so I also recently had major surgery, and I'm also trying to quit drinking. So the fact that they put like the worst addiction I have, which is Bravo, in a town that develops addictions and exploits them. It's like, why did you do this to me? Like, why can't you just have it in New York or LA or someplace that wouldn't turn me into a gambling loser, you know?
It looks like it's so much fun. Although I will say that there's already so much content coming through the social media channels that there's actually so much. It's overwhelming for me to take in. And so therefore I'm not taking it in. And therefore I actually don't really have FOMO because I'm not really paying attention. I literally just saw footage of Tom Sandoval and James Kennedy doing pushups on a stage. And I thought, you know what? I'm actually okay being in LA right now.
Yeah. I don't need that.
So
I will say that I have deleted Twitter and I had a burner account, obviously, but I deleted my main Twitter. And then on my burner account, I was accidentally getting Bravo stuff. And then I just muted BravoCon, the hashtag, and I'm doing fine.
That's good.
It feels okay.
Well, Ronnie will be back next week, and I'm excited for all his stories because he's already like run into various Bravo people and we've been texting. I can't wait for him to tell everything. But for right now, we do have an obligation.
I'm sorry. There's a show.
There is a show, a riveting, fascinating
show. But that's
how
excited we are about to talk about this show, that we spent like 40 minutes trying to talk about anything else.
Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Oh, wow. What a Met episode. You know, Miami premiered also this week, right after Beverly Hills.
I'm saving Miami for this weekend.
You're going to love it. Miami deserves better than that Beverly Hills lead-in. And also, Miami is showing... Like, it is showing Beverly Hills up. Because you watch Beverly Hills, you watch this hour, which looks like it's filmed from a jar of Vaseline. There's so many filters on it.
It's the Barbara Walters filter.
They are Barbara Waltersing all of them. And then you go to Miami where it's, like, sharp and beautiful and there's, like, stuff happening and, like, raw emotions and just excitement. It really makes Beverly Hills harder to watch. But I'm not going to be a hater.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappin's.
Today, hip-hop dominates pop culture, but it wasn't always like that. And to tell the story of how that changed, I want to take you back to a very special year in rap.
88, it was too much good music. The world was on fire.
Fire, yeah. I'm Will Smith. This is Class of 88, my new podcast about the moments, albums, and artists that inspired a sonic revolution and secured 1988 as one of hip-hop's most important years. We'll talk to the people who were there. And most of all, we'll bring you some amazing stories.
You know what my biggest memory from that tour is? It was your birthday.
Yes, and you brought me the Sade life-size cardboard cutout.
This is Class of 88, the story of a year that changed hip-hop.
Listen to Class of 88 wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge the entire series right now on the Amazon Music app or Audible.
Commercial.
So let's dive in on Beverly Hills.
Can I forewarn your listeners?
Yes. Forewarn away.
Listen, I think, and I wanted this to not be true, but I do think Garcelle's a flop as a housewife, and I think it's time we said it. So
yeah,
if you were turned off by my Garcelle commentary going forward, I apologize in advance, but she is such a flop. I don't know. She's a flop. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I feel like I'm getting the sense that this is her flop season for me. I don't think that she's overall a flop. I feel like she has moments of being really good. And she's at her best when she is like, like going after Erica or Kyle when she's like that. But I sense that she is very self-aware of those moments. And I suspect I imagine there's a lot of pressure on her and she probably doesn't want to be angry black woman, all that stuff. But the truth is when she does kind of like put some pressure on people, she's really, really good. And I kind of want more of that, you know?
But like,
she doesn't do it.
She's beautiful, right? She's nice to look at, but then her clothes flop, her style flops, her hair flops, right? So then it's like, I don't even get the fashions to make me feel like, okay, it's worth it. And then outside of her, like you said, conflict with Erica and her
Rinna, maybe.
Like who gives a fuck? I don't care.
I'm a little, her scenes have been a little dull this season. So
a little. I fast forwarded through that shit with her kids. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
If your teenage son is salty about how you raised him. We all are. That's how being 15 goes.
Yeah, exactly. As you're sitting there on the beach, steps away from your house. Okay.
Yeah, right.
So this episode, we get the opening line. We get the taglines for the first time. So we start with Garcelle, speaking of, who said this.
Why is she center peach? Excuse me. Why is she center diamond, by the way?
I'm not sure.
Nothing in the previews have suggested any justification.
Maybe Bravo just feels bad about how everything went down with like Diana Jenkins last season and the bots and everything. So Garcelle's line is, I may act for a living, but I never fall for a bad performance. Yeah. Thumbs down. Ray's giving it a thumbs down on the video.
Yeah, thumbs down.
It's a little meh. It's a little meh. Then we have Sutton who says,
is she talking about Erica, by the way?
I think maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. Sutton says, who needs a knight in shining armor when you've got your own horse?
It's so stupid in camp, like Sutton, so I'm happy.
Yeah, it's okay. It's all right. Erica, the best part about losing everything is getting it all back. It's a little generic.
What you got back, girl?
Yeah.
What you got back?
What did she get back?
Nothing. She didn't even get the rumor went around that she got the diamond earrings back and she didn't even get them back. She only got the judge saying that she shouldn't have lost them, but she didn't retrieve them back. So what did you get back, Erica?
Well, it's not her music career because you have to have that in the first place. So Dorit says,
fashion is my language and I speak it fluently.
Oh girl, come on.
I mean it's a little late, that one. I mean her accents, it's fine. Okay, this one is my favorite just because it's so ill-conceived. Like this is a real mess. One, like I'm like, did you think about this one before you said it? Okay, this is Crystal.
Mm-hmm.
They say wisdom comes with age. I'm sorry, this is like I can't believe this is a tagline.
I can't do it.
Okay. They say wisdom comes with age, but I'm proving otherwise. She's trying to say I've got wisdom. I'm young and I have wisdom, but it sounds like she's getting older and dumber. I'm getting older, but I don't have much wisdom.
And also, she hasn't talked. It took an episode and a half for her to talk. So what wisdom are you imparting? You're just looking at stuff. Is it looking wise? Are you looking wisely?
I literally did a mashup. As long as I'm tuning my own Instagram horns. I did a mashup last week. I took every single scene, every single moment of Crystal on the season premiere. Anytime she talked or anytime her face was fully on camera. So like no back of the head stuff.
Well, you got 30 seconds. That's what you got.
Oh, you wish. It was 12 seconds long.
Shut the fuck up.
Rob spoke more than Crystal. She literally said, hi. Well, and she said, yeah. And then she said something like, look at her. It was actually disrespectful.
Now I have a question. You know these women get paid by episode. Does her 12-second appearance in an episode count for a payment?
That's very interesting. I mean, she said a line, so maybe it's like SAG rules. Like, she said a line. She's got to get paid. She said, yeah. But anyway,
oh my God.
They say wisdom comes with age, but I'm proving otherwise. I feel like that is such a terrible, terrible tagline. When I first heard it, I thought she was literally saying, I'm not getting wisdom.
I'm dumb.
I'm dumb. I'm a dumb person. Okay, and then finally we have Kyle, who says, it's hard to outrun rumors, but luckily I'm in better shape than ever. Shut up. Don't brag about you being in good shape. Makes it triggering me.
I mean, she's weightlifting, you know?
She is.
And that's important for us to know, apparently.
It is. Yeah, she is weightlifting. And do you notice that ever since she started lifting weights, maybe she's always had this, but she's sort of walking around now like she's going to sell a horse at a trading post, right? Have you noticed that? She's sort of like her torso sort of like bent forward and her legs are at. Yeah. There was a few seasons ago where she was making fun of the way that Teddy walked. But now that's exactly how Kyle is walking. She's sort of like, howdy, partner.
That's interesting because the walk that I noticed was Sutton's.
What was her walk?
Sutton has horrible posture. I noticed her walk in the season premiere when she and Garcelle get out of the limo or whatever car, when they're walking up to the Eagle Woman's location, Sutton has a hunch and her hips are forward.
Oh, no. And she's a former dancer. That's surprising. I mean, I have that too, but I'm not a dancer.
I was so shocked. There's nothing graceful about it. I was like, holy fuck. This is weird.
So,
at least Kyle looks kind of like, do you watch Justified?
No, but the with what's his face?
Timothy Olyphant, mm-hmm. his gorgeous self, and Walton Goggins.
Oh yeah.
But if you watch Justified, Timothy Olyphant has a very like my back straight, yeah. and I'm stoic, but my like cowboy boots are making noise and they're aggressive or whatever. And that's what Kyle's giving me lately. And I don't know if that's like her new lesbian energy, but it's giving cowgirl.
Yeah. Like she definitely has some sort of like country Western thing going on. She sort of looks like, she also kind of looks like she's someone in CrossFit who's like about to pick up a sack of something, you know, like they sort of like, they do that thing. They put their legs out. They're like, okay, engage the lumbar, yes, exactly. You know?
Also, if we're going there, I'm not going to lie. Kyle has, in my opinion, the best work that I've seen over a decade.
Her work is on amazing.
But this season, she looks hard to me.
She does.
Like she's leaning into a more masculine kind of energy.
It's because I think there's like a quote. I maybe from Catherine Deneuve. I could be wrong. Or maybe it's someone else. Okay. That was kind of like, her quote was something like, at a certain point, a lady has to choose whether she wants to look young or it was like a lady can decide whether she wants to look young or not eat. Basically, it was like, at a certain point.
He's not eating and
if you're not eating you lose the fat in your face and then all the like all the hardness comes out, you know. Sorry, Catherine Deneuve.
She just looks hard to me in a different way, and maybe it's because her countenance is sort of reflecting her attitude toward Mauricio and her like constant irritability and frustration. And I know that like when you're newly sober you're more irritable and sensitive and stuff, but there's just something like very square and like angry,
yeah,
you know?
It's called she has no more children that she has to be a mom for, really.
Okay,
it's called Portia is the last one and she's 14 and she's starting to become independent, and Kyle now has to look at whatever cracks are in her life and
her life.
Like she cannot pour herself into her children anymore, and this is a thing that happens with people. And I think that she's made herself a victim into what happened last season. But I think the truth is that she realized that despite everything Kathy did, the audience was still on her side and Kyle will never win. And she's just like, fuck it.
Myself included.
Yeah. She's like, fuck it. Like, what else do I have? Like, I've tried, I've given up. She's given up, sort of, you know? And
she's fully tired. You know how, like, Tyler Perry writes movies about tired Black women?
Well, I did see the future film Temptation, Tyler Perry's Temptation, so yes.
Exactly. So this is what it looks like when Tyler Perry writes a white woman. Kyle is tired. Okay.
She does seem withdrawn and tired. She's not doing the same usual things. And yeah, she's, I think she is coming face to face with issues she's probably ignored in her life. So, but before we get to Kyle, we have Dorit and Erica walking up to a picnic, basically on that little park in Beverly Hills that's like right by Santa Monica Boulevard. And two girls, Jill and Tara from Dolce Picnics, have set up this ornate picnic for two people who are not going to touch a single piece of food.
Crazy. Crazy. Embarrassing.
And it was so perfectly timed because earlier this week we were watching. Did you watch Salt Lake City this week?
No, I did not.
Okay.
I refuse to watch Salt Lake City as long as Mary's on there. I know that that makes me unfun, but I cannot stand her.
I would honestly reconsider. I think that like...
Really?
Mary is in a really hilarious lane. I know Mary comes with lots of baggage and yada, yada, yada.
She's very off-putting to me. Like, I cannot, I find her so disrespectful and rude. It's not even like fun rules of engagement. Like, she is just so mean.
She is literally the meanest. She's literally so mean. But I think that the way they have sort of like slotted her in is working very well for me.
Okay. Okay, we'll see.
But anyway, the reason why I bring it up is that this week on Salt Lake City, some of them went like cross-country skiing. And then afterwards, they set up some chairs in a parking lot next to a mound of like tall, dirty snow. You know, those mountains of snow that wind up in parking. So it's like this wet parking lot, dirty snow.
The rest hasn't melted yet.
Yeah.
But it got dirty because it's been around for a long time.
It's been plowed a lot. And so they set up a little table and like, Heather Gay is pulling the plastic off of some supermarket olives. And I said,
isn't she always eating in snow? Why is Heather always eating in snow?
It's just what I guess Utah people do. So this happens. And I made a joke about like, this is hilarious because this is so Salt Lake City. They're sitting in a parking lot with dirty snow. Whereas on Beverly Hills, if they have like a picnic, it's going to be the most floral and over the top thing. And then here we are, the very next Beverly Hills episode.
In
the parking lot. They're in this like gorgeous $5,000 picnic, you know, and it's just not gorgeous, but it's like tacky. But like,
okay.
The point is that like the production like basically paid for like a nice ass picnic for them.
Nice. Oh, you think that production pays for this stuff?
I think they got to subsidize. Maybe subsidize it.
Oh, you think it's subsidized?
Either way, it's arranged.
At least the company gives something for the free promo.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. The company probably does something for free. So Dorit and Erica sit down, and Dorit's like,
gee, thank you for coming, Erica. Listen, I consider you a very dear friend, and I know we...
Yeah, really? Like, are they really dear friends?
Are they?
And so she's...
My dear friend wouldn't have gone on TV or whatever and been like, me, you right away. Sorry for N-words, but like honestly.
And so she goes like, well, I guess what was disappointing for me is you didn't lead with an apology. And I was a little taken aback, you know, like when I saw PK reaching for Lean Cuisine, it was very alarming.
So Erica's like,
oh, well, you know what? I did the wrong thing and I don't want to re-explain myself. It literally just like popped into my head and I sold it on the stage.
Like, sold it on the stage like this was like a big, you know, showbiz moment.
I know, right? Like this was one of her $7 shows in Vegas. So I sold it on the stage. What did you sell? You sold that my marriage was miserable. But then at the same time, though, like, Dory, your marriage is in trouble though, so what are we mad about?
Well, and that's what's so weird is that, like, Dorit goes, I'm sorry, no, it was Erica goes a little bit, they talk it out and everything, and like, oh, you know, I wish I, you know, if I had known, and Erica goes,
if I had known that PK and Dorit were in a rough spot, I never would have said that. I would have ruined somebody else's life. I was like, okay, so
You're strategically starting to ruin someone's marriage. I don't get the understanding. So you know you were lying.
You knew you were lying, and if you had known, you would have lied in a different way to protect your friend.
Oh my God! If I knew, I would have said Kyle and Carl and Lindsay.
But meanwhile, you know? Meanwhile, like Erica's big thing is that, like, she's fending off rumors that she knows things, and she acts like she doesn't know them. And so she's basically saying, yeah, oh, if I had known this, I wouldn't have said anything. I would have been a good witness.
Right. Oh, that's true, too. Or just like, oh, okay. I would have been a better liar if you had told me this stuff was going bad.
But since you didn't tell me, I decided just to take a, you know, like an unnecessary hit on you, even though there's an entire network of losers that I could have just pulled two names out of.
Yes. And also, I don't believe that for a second. I do think that she assessed that PK and Dorit were in trouble. I didn't think that PK and Dorit were in as much trouble as it seems like Dorit saying that they are now. But if my husband is not sensitive to me, and my maybe real or not robbery, but then also, what stood out to me was like, you got into a DUI and you didn't call me first. You're a hider. You hide things.
Yeah.
We're not simpatico. If you can't tell me that you got drunk and I need to come get you or whatever, like how I didn't find out the next day, but was it Mauricio whoever found out first? Like That's crazy. We're in a bad spot, personally.
Well, Dorit has a lot going on because she tells us this story, which made me laugh. She goes,
do you buy any of Dorit's stories?
Well, this story was really great. So obviously she went through this horrific home invasion that we all know about. And that is like legitimately traumatizing. So then she says, last Christmas was about 14 months. Here, gather round. Here's the story of Dorit. Last Christmas was about 14 months after the home invasion. So I went to the bank and took out $10,000. So, you know, money for Christmas gifts, you know, as one does. So then she goes, I had my handbag in the shopping cart and I was going to and fro, gift to gift, Christmas tree to Christmas tree, buying wafers for children and tinsel for the animals. And I got to the register and I realized, gee, my handbag was gone. Your handbag of $10,000 in cash?
What $10,000 can fit in a handbag? First of all, you lying ass bitch. That's a big bag.
Well, so, yes.
So that's one. And then two, you absurd ass bitch. Why'd you pull out $10,000 in cash if you are going to go Christmas shopping unless you don't have a credit card because you have bad credit like we all think you do and nobody's giving you a credit card? Come on. This is absurd.
And also, why are you taking out $10,000? Like, just take out like maybe $500 chunk and then go, like, I mean, $10,000. But she also says like, oh, you know, well, I had to take out $10,000 for Christmas gifts. Are you getting everyone a Subaru? Like, I mean, a Jeep Subaru, I should say.
Truly, where did she go? I was like, $10,000 at Walmart? That's aggressive.
And she's just walking around with it just like, and here's the thing.
And you just got robbed and you have a handbag full of dollars and you're not especially attentive. What is happening with this girl?
You know, yesterday I went to a coffee shop. And I was like sitting at a table with my little phone and I had to like throw my napkin in the trash. The trash was like 3 feet away and I got up and the entire time in the 6 seconds from when I went to the trash and went back to my spot where I was sitting, I was like, someone's going to take my phone. Someone's going to take my phone. Someone's going to take my phone. Like, I do not leave personal possessions around anything. My car got broken into in 2002. And to this day, I will not leave anything worth more than $15. Okay? And here comes Dorit just like pushing around a cart with $10,000 in a bag and not even paying attention to the bag. Not even paying attention to people walking by the bag.
I promise you, if three men were following me around a store, I would notice. I'm sorry. I don't know. Maybe I was just raised suspicious because I live in New York, but no, it's not going to be three men following me. And then when I reach for the whatever fancy chips she was trying to reach in the aisle, she got her high-end Sun chips or some shit. Someone's going to take my $10,000.
Don't put it all in one place. Maybe put some in your back pocket or like.
This all seems, and to me, Why would it be in your cart? Why would a purse of $10,000 be in the front of your cart?
What cart
it would
be
under everything.
Is she, like, you know what's so funny? In my mind, I'm thinking she's buying Christmas gifts at Neiman's or something like that. If she's in a cart, that means she's at a big box store.
Hello? She's at Costco. What? Did she put it on the bottom of the cart? Like, where did you, you know how like at Costco you have to put like the big box of Tide on the bottom of the cart because it's too big?
Yeah, is she at Smart and Final? I mean, like, you're not going, you're just, you're not even going to Bloomingdale's and have a, like, you just don't have carts in those places.
So what are we, like,
she had Sprouts.
I don't want to accuse this woman of lying, but all of this seems so goddamn absurd.
It is, there is something so fishy, but by the way, this is the best kind of fishy. Like, this is my favorite.
It.
Like, this is my favorite scandal, you know?
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So then she says that this brought her right back to her PTSD. And, you know, she's going through it because she put $10,000 into her shopping cart at Kohl's looking, browsing the Lauren Conrad collection.
Her, you know. How do you not notice three people on your ass? Come on, Ben.
I don't know. She's like, I have the fans. I have such big fans here. So anyway, Erica and Dorit hug, and they're fine. It's everything's okay.
I thought that apology seemed kind of bogus, if you ask me. Like,
if I had realized
my feelings were hurt about the public rightly calling me out for being a C word about my husband stealing the property of other people. So I lied and said that your marriage was in trouble. Like, why did we buy that? Dorit, why was that hug worthy?
Because they're like endlessly fascinated by Erica. I think Erica is the coolest person they've ever met. And they just like,
which is, why though?
I think they see her, she has like fashion. She's like, I don't give a fuck. And they're like, that's so cool.
But she gives all the fucks, actually. She's the biggest grudge holder. She's so self-serious. Come on.
Last week when she's like, empathy, what is that?
I could not believe that. So the way she acted like it was a revelation when Dr. Jen was like, put yourself in their shoes and think about how much it would be hard for them. And then Erica repeats twice, for them.
For them. How much do their shoes cost? So now we go to Sutton with her gay Avi. And we just see him.
Do we like Avi? I thought he was a little cute.
I like Avi. I like him a lot. Yeah. I feel like he's like, I like him a lot. I feel like he's got a personality.
He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows what he's supposed to be doing for the cameras. Like, I don't know. I like him.
I feel like he could be with us for several years. Like I'm definitely approved. So,
and I like that playful dynamic where it's like, oh, I'm the overwhelmed worker.
Yes.
And here's my overbearing boss, but her friends love me. I love that.
Yeah.
Part of
and
it.
He gives her some shit. Like Sutton's gay last year was just sort of like generic and smiling. And Avi's just like, but they're like pouring a drink. She's like, are you going to have a drink, Avi? It's 5:30. So they're pouring themselves cocktails, and Sutton FaceTimes with Garcelle. Garcelle's telling, okay, this is actually where I was like, okay, Garcelle is maybe in a flop season, because she's like, oh, well, Jax, I just found out Jax has a game at 5:30, and then Jade has a basketball game, so I'm rushing to the game. And I'm like, I really don't care. This is not TLC. This is Bravo.
I do not give a fuck. Do you hear me?
I don't care.
So bad. I just do not
care about the kids' sporting schedules. And that goes for any child on Bravo.
Yeah.
So Sun's sitting here pouring herself a cocktail, and she goes, well, I've got a sick child in the house and I'm heading to Vegas. You think that Crystal needs to let loose? Your child is sick and you're like, I'm going to go to Vegas. I'm going to have a cocktail. I'm going to Vegas.
No, she's done being a mom, okay? She needs to prove something to her ex, all right?
She's like, I don't know which child it is. I don't know if it's the girl or the boy or maybe just some stuffed animal.
Walking upstairs somewhere in our 24,000 square foot house.
There's some sort of smell of child up there, and I think it's sick. I'm hearing wheezing. Unless it's with.
I'm sure there's someone I can pay to pretend to care about this.
I called Uber. I'm going to have them take care of the child. They do that, right? Can we go to Vegas?
Postmates raise your children.
I postmated a thermometer. Can't spell thermometer without mom. Am I right? So they're going to go to Vegas. Garcelle and Sutton are planning a birthday weekend in Vegas for Crystal, who's on the show.
That is the least fun gossip of me, but that sounds so unfun.
Garcelle and Sutton planning a Vegas vacation. Now, if they said, I'm planning a vacation in Santa Fe, we're going to spas, I'd be like, oh yeah, Sutton and Garcelle got this. But like Vegas, it's...
Sutton and Garcelle planning a party for Crystal? Give me a fucking break. Yeah.
It's not going to be a great Vegas weekend.
No.
So then this lady, Alessandra, comes over and she's a matchmaker and she's very excited. She reminds me of actually Chef Penny from Vanderpump Rules, who, by the way.
Oh, yes. Who we haven't seen in such a long time.
We haven't, but she randomly started following me yesterday. So it's really been.
Oh, really?
So much has been happening in social media. I really don't.
This week is your week, my guy.
Do I even need BravoCon when I've got Instagram?
Yeah, and then you have Page Six and Chef Penny.
It's a huge week for me. So anyway, but she does look like a young Chef Penny. And she's like, oh my God, I love the pink you're wearing, Sutton. Thank you so much. Oh my God, so, okay, what's going on? And Avi's like, what can I get you? He goes, oh my, you know what? Water would be wonderful. Thank you so much. I'm like, lady, you got to take it down a peg. She's auditioning right now.
Nah, she's hype about that H2O, okay?
She really is. So Sutton tells us that she's the best, that Alessandra's known as the best. And then Sutton, they clearly gave Sutton a line that Sutton did not understand, but was like, okay, I'll try to recite this.
Wait, what was the line?
She goes, at this point, she is my only hope. It's like Obi-Wan Kenobi. And then she goes, help me. I'm like, you don't know how to do that.
Avi was sitting in the background like, oh, Sutton, we worked on this.
He's like, it's a trap. Yeah, watching her trying to recite Star Wars lines was great.
You don't think she's seen any Star Wars?
She has definitely seen a Star Wars. But I think, okay, she probably saw the original. She may have seen all three in her youth.
Okay.
And then she may have seen like one of the J.J. Abrams ones. And she was like, it was a bit too much. There was aliens and there was like spaceship.
What if she got turned off by Jar Jar Binks in like 2002 and never returned to the
What podcast? If that's like me? I've watched all three of those awful prequels because of sunk cost fallacy.
You had to finish. You just had to
finish. I had to finish. I didn't care. I literally did not care. It turned me off of Star Wars. But then I actually really liked the first J.J. Abrams one. And I was like, that was amazing. And then I watched the next one and I hated it. So I'm off of Star Wars again.
Okay. I personally have never seen a Star Wars, but I am randomly like well-versed in the references.
I like you said, like, so, you're randomly well-versed as if it's not part of, like, everyday fabric on the internet all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, that's what it is. The internet told me I should know when this is funny, so even I knew that Sutton delivered that line terribly. No,
she just really, like, she just could not. It was like you could see her trying to say it, and you could tell this was, like, the 12th take, and she still was trying to figure out, like, I don't get it. Obi-Wan, what's the name? Is his name Kenobi? Is it Obi?
It's Kenobi.
Is it Ben? Is his name Ben or is it Obi? Or is it Juan? J-U-A-N? Juan? Is he Spanish? They're like, okay, we'll just piece this together. Just somehow make this work.
Is Kenobi a space and place in Mexico?
Kenobi. Kenobi, is that a restaurant we can go to? So Sutton's like, I don't know, Alessandra, what's going on, but I've been divorced for 7 years and I've been doing this in a while and I call myself the one date wonder. I don't tend to, I guess, click with people. I don't get asked out a second time, or really a first time now that I think about it.
You know, men just don't like me, but it has nothing to do with me. I'm just not ready to give up my power, you know?
Like your power. And so she starts saying, like, my intellect is superior to most. And
I was like, girl, right.
I was like, okay, settle down, Mensa. She's like,
I know, right? Honestly, like, son, like, you're great on TV, but you're just a weird ass bitch, right? Like, these men are not intimidated by your intelligence. They're intimidated by your weirdness, right?
And then she's like, I don't wear revealing things like slutty. I might be nervous and I act strangely. And we see clips of her like,
I'm like, that's the answer. It was like, it took her so long to get there. Oh, they're intimidated by my intelligence. Oh, maybe I'm anxious. And maybe I act weird. Yes, bitch, that's the first bullet point.
You act weird and you wear cat sweaters a lot. Yes, so I support the cat sweaters. So
I don't like the cat sweaters, but not on a date. Listen, you don't have to dress slutty to not look like a nut job.
That's right. That, yeah, it doesn't have to be one or the other, you know? So Alessandra's like, okay, great. So what's like the ideal partner for you? So she, of course, is like tall, handsome, graduated from college, which doesn't totally narrow it down. And
nothing.
No. And then basically Alessandra's like, okay, so here's my idea with the man. You're going to let the man lead because that's what men should do in life.
I was like, oh my God, look at these two misguided fools. Like, I don't want anything to do with either of them. Please do not call this lady to my house to give me some bullshit like that. Let the man lead. We haven't even met the man. Is he worthy of leadership?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's always hilarious the number of con artists that also hang around this cast. From the two girls who charge probably $50,000 for a picnic to now Alessandra, the matchmaker, who's probably just going to like hook up Sutton to Paula Shore.
I was wondering that. Do you remember what's her name? What's her name from Million Dollar Matchmaker?
Patty Stanger.
Patty. I was like, okay, does she charge Patty numbers? Because Patty got no results. Patty got no results. It was so famous. So I'm sitting here like, what? When Sutton says that Alessandra is known around Beverly Hills, known for what? Letting the men lead? Like, what are we talking about here?
Does Beverly Hills have a great track record with marriages that work out? Because as far as I can tell.
And then my next immediate thought was like, okay, but does Alessandra take clients who are black women in New York? Because Amish might need some.
You're like, that being said.
I don't mind a divorce or two, you know?
You're like, I'll let the man lead.
I'll let the man lead if he pays for stuff.
Yeah.
You can lead if you pay for things.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay. So then, so now we go to, oh, I was like, why did I write this down? I'm a boss. I'm a big boss. Okay. So we now go to, I was like, what? We're going to Gracias Madre. And so Bravo, in an effort to kind of make Beverly Hills seem more exciting than it is, has now put in a lot of selling sunset music. So now it's like, I'm a boss. I'm a big boss. I'm a big, big boss. You're going to Gracias Madre. You're going to like a lovely vegan Mexican restaurant on Santa Monica Boulevard or Melrose Boulevard.
Yes, I think I've been there.
It's so good. It's so good, but it's not where you go to be like, I'm a boss. Like, I feel like I'm going to be like, I'm a boss when I go into like a steakhouse. But like, I'm a boss.
This is very accessible for most of us.
I'm going to get some cauliflower.
I'm going to get some cilantro.
Yeah. So Crystal, it's Crystal and it's her husband, Rob, and her brother. I think that Lin-Manuel Miranda is behind the bar. I'm not totally sure, but I'm pretty sure that's who we saw tossing a cocktail shaker.
Yes!
Did you see that guy?
Oh my God, all he needed was that like baseball cap or that Newsies cap and just a couple raps. He just wraps up the menu.
He's like, they call it Gracias Madre, but I've got something that's Padre. The history of this place is Mexican food, but vegan, because I'm in a new league and I'm in my Miranda. It's Hamilton. I can't believe I'm in the same room. Shot, tools.
Wait, time out. When did you become a freestyle rapper?
I don't know. I've never done that before. I'm like, my heart's racing.
My heart is racing.
Can I do a musical?
Nicki Minaj is in trouble, bitch.
All I know is I was like, oh no, I just said vegan. I've got to rhyme it with something.
No, but you didn't just rhyme vegan. You put two words together.
I'm in another league. It was very exciting to step into the world of Lin-Manuel Miranda and Hamilton. Like,
come on, music. Wait, are you going to write an intense musical about the history of Los Angeles, but cast everybody interracially? It's going to be amazing.
And then it'll have it'll be like a rap, but then it'll have like a, it'll be like, Gracias Madre, built on the Boulevard of Dreams, but I'm in a restaurant. You know, it like suddenly gets like everyone's like harmonizing really big and like this in the air. I would see it.
It's gonna be an Asian person rapping about tacos, and that's gonna sell it. It's gonna be amazing.
Honestly, just cast Crystal's brother. He's a pop star.
Oh shit, duh! The Asian Justin Bieber.
That's right. So okay, so they're sitting there, and Crystal reminds us that Jeff is a pop star in China, which is so funny to me. Then Crystal's like, "Oh hey, is this triggering? Because the bridal shower was just around the corner, which I have to imagine was Catch, because Catch is around the corner from Gracias Madre.
Oh, really? Okay.
So that feels like that would be the bridal shower place.
Have you ever been to Catch? Did you like it? I know the Catch in New York is unpopular, too uncool for Bryn. But what about the Catch LA?
I have never been to Catch in LA. I'm open to going, but generally I like to go to restaurants that have 4 Yelp stars or above.
Oh, they don't have good Yelp reviews?
I don't believe so. Maybe they've gone up. Okay, now I've got to look up Catch Los Angeles Yelp.
I went for like my birthday a couple years back. Extremely overrated.
You know what? It's got 3.5 stars. No, yeah. I mean, honestly, everyone there looks like Larsa Pippen. And I just...
That was actually exactly what I hated about it. It was just like, I went in there and one of my friends looks like a basketball wife. Like, she looks like she should bag an NBA player wherever we go. And I certainly do not look like that. So then I was just in there. I was like, oh my God, this feels like a VH1 reality show casting call. Like, what the fuck?
I know. I'm going to be like, hi, everyone. So now Crystal tells a story that is supposed to somehow be sympathetic, but she says,
I know, right? I didn't give a fuck.
But also, it's fucked up. She's like, so 3 years ago, Jeff was engaged and he was living in China. And right before the wedding, the pandemic happened. And so Crystal and her mom begged Jeff to come back to America. But his fiance couldn't come because of she had a Chinese passport. And Krista goes, and I think that's why they broke up. I'm like, yeah, because there was a global pandemic and your life partner skipped to a different hemisphere and left you behind. Is this supposed to be sympathetic? In what world do you do that to your fiance?
And also, like, my brain went, if it was just because of the logistics distance in the pandemic, well, the pandemic's over now, not over, but like, it's not the same danger that it was. And he's still obviously a pop star in China. So he's going back and forth.
Also, what kind of
distance wasn't the issue. He probably did some fucked up shit. Like, there was something that happened besides distance and a vaccine, you know?
Cause let me tell you something. Justin Bieber can smuggle Haley out of a country. Okay. So if you are China's Justin Bieber, you have some clout.
You can expedite an American passport.
We can get that working out, okay?
Yeah, come on. And they would absolutely let you marry your wife and bring her over.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me?
Shannon Bedore's upset.
That's terrible.
Wow, Ray and I cannot stop talking, so this is going to be a two-parter. This is a big two-parter. This is over 2 hours this time, almost 2.5 hours, and I'm not making it any shorter. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Part two will be up shortly. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Ruru LaRue.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's Get Real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't Get Salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tam LaPlaine.
She's quite the catch, it's Victoria Kotchett.
She ain't no shrinkin' Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.